After us, the deluge. God knows what a mess of occult faiths will, in the present century, replace the tender and cruel theologies that praised and dishonored Christ. 7. A.D. 632, the death of Muhammad. It was in this year, so designated by us infidels but known to the Mohammedans as AH-10, the 10th year after the Hegira, that Muhammad left this earth after founding the faith that was to overrun and dominate for centuries all northern Africa from Cairo to Morocco, southern Europe in Turkey and Spain, and half of Asia from Jerusalem and Baghdad to Tehran and Delhi. Even Christianity cannot boast of so many wars waged in its name, or so many heathen killed. With this trifling exception, it was a noble religion, sternly monotheistic, rejecting images and priests and the polytheism of saints, building strong characters with the doctrine of fatalism and the discipline of war, raising great universities and cultures at Cordova, Granada, Cairo, Baghdad, and Delhi, giving the world one of its greatest rulers, Akbar of India, and ennobling Spain, Egypt, Constantinople, Palestine, and India with gracious architecture, from the Alhambra to the Taj Mahal. Today, despite their political dismemberment, they are still growing in numbers and strength. In India and China, they are making converts every hour of every day. There is no surety that the future is not theirs. 8. 1294, the death of Roger Bacon. This date is almost as good as any other to mark the first use of gunpowder, for the rebellious English monk who died in this year may be held partly responsible for its invention. It was Roger Bacon who first definitely described the explosive that would revolutionize the world and offer to all pious statesmen a substitute for birth control. Quote, "One may cause to burst forth from bronze," he wrote, "thunderbolts more formidable than those produced by nature. A small quantity of prepared matter occasions a terrible explosion accompanied by brilliant light. One may multiply the phenomena so far as to destroy an army or a city." Close quote. Very likely. It was gunpowder that gave to the rising bourgeoisie of late medieval Europe the means of overthrowing the feudal baron by bombarding from a distance his once impregnable castle. It was gunpowder that made the infantry as important as the cavalry, and gave the common man a new prestige in war and a new power in revolutions. It was gunpowder that turned war from a gentleman's game, occasionally fatal, to a form of standardized mass destruction, a mode of removing from the earth with a few minutes' bombardment the work of 100,000 artist hands laboring for 3 centuries. Perhaps this is the most important date in the story of the fall of man, though some cynic might argue that a still more tragic event was the invention of thinking, the liberation of intellect from instinct, the consequent separation of sex from reproduction, and the abandonment of the perpetuation of the race to the selected morons of every land. 9. 1454, the press of Johannes Gutenberg at Mainz on the Rhine issues the first printed documents bearing a printed date. The Germans had used printing from movable types for some 1400 years before. The Chinese had done such printing as far back as AD 1041, and in 1900 a block-printed book was discovered in China which had been published in 868. Nothing is new in China, democracy least of all. They invented gunpowder and used it chiefly for fireworks. They invented printing and never used it for tabloid newspapers, crime club fiction, or Freudian biographies. In Western civilization, printing helped money and muskets to liberate the middle class and put an end to the rule of the knights and the priests. It enabled the people to read the Bible, and so engendered the Reformation. It immensely widened the circle to which a writer might address his ideas, and by transferring the making of books from monks to printers' devils, and the patronage of books from the aristocracy and the church to the commonality and the laity, it made possible the propaganda and development of democracy and free thought. Napoleon remarked that the Bourbons might have preserved themselves and prevented the French Revolution by maintaining a governmental monopoly of ink. Our empowered middle class has profited by the example and has made literacy an impediment to the acquisition of truth. One hardly knows today whether printing does more harm than good, or whether the growth of knowledge and learning has not weakened character as much as it has stocked the mind. But let us try it a little further. 10. 1492. Columbus discovers America. When Columbus discovered us, he put an end to the Italian Renaissance by changing trade routes from the Mediterranean to the Atlantic, and bringing wealth and power first to Spain, making possible Velázquez and Cervantes, Murillo and Calderón, then to England, financing Shakespeare, Milton, Bacon, and Hobbes, then to the Netherlands, producing Rembrandt and Spinoza, Rubens and Van Dyck, Habermas and Vermeer, and then to France, generating Rabelais and Montaigne, Poussin and Claude Lorrain. When, in 1564, Michelangelo died and Shakespeare was born, it was a sign that the Renaissance had died in Italy and had been reborn in England. The discovery of America cooperated with the Reformation, and the diminution of Peter's pence, and ending for a time the role of Italy in history. Later, the development of the New World opened up a vast market for European goods and a vast area for Europe's surplus population. This is the secret of Europe's rapid growth in wealth and power, and its conquest of Africa and Asia and Australia. And all the history of America, with its experiments in popular sovereignty and popular education, would that the order had been reversed, lay potential in that magnificent adventure of 1492. 11. 1769. James Watt brings the steam engine to practical utility. This event inaugurated the Industrial Revolution. Hero of Alexandria made a steam engine in 130 BC. Della Porta, Savary, and Newcomen had made better ones in 1601, 1698, and 1705. But it was Watt's stone that capped the arch and changed the world. Essentially, there are only two fundamental and pivotal events in human history. The agricultural revolution, in which men passed from hunting to tillage and settled down to build homes, schools, and civilization, and the industrial revolution, which threw millions and millions of men, first in England, then in America and Germany, then in Italy and France, then in faraway Japan, now in China, the Soviet Union, and India, out of their homes and their farms into cities and factories. It transformed society and government by empowering the owners of machinery and the controllers of commerce beyond the owners of titles and land. It transformed religion by generating science and its persuasive miracles and inducing many men to think in terms of cause and effect and machines. It transformed the mind by substituting novel and varied stimuli, necessitating thought for the old ancestral and domestic situations to which instinct had been adapted and sufficient. It transformed woman by taking her work from the home and forcing her into the factories to recapture it. It transformed morals by complicating economic life, postponing marriage, multiplying contacts and opportunities, liberating woman, reducing the family, and weakening religious and parental authority and control. And it transformed art by subordinating beauty to use, and subjecting the artist not to a favored few with inherited standards of judgment and trained tastes, but to a multitude who judged all things in terms of power and cost and size. All this, incredible as it may seem, is in that single invention of James Watt. All this and more. Capitalism, socialism, the imperialism that must come when industrialized nations need foreign markets and foreign food, the wars that must come for these markets, and the revolutions that must come from these wars. Even the Great War and the vast experiment in Russia were corollaries of the Industrial Revolution. 1769 stands for the whole modern age. 12. 1789, the French Revolution. The French Revolution must be taken not as a single self-contained event, but as the political signature to economic and psychological facts that had accumulated for centuries. Perhaps it began in 1543 when Copernicus published his book on the revolutions of the celestial orbs, for then began the twilight of the gods and the liberation of man. Cast here upon this petty earth, no longer the center of things but an incident, forced to realize that humanity is an interlude in biology. Biology and interlude in geology, as any earthquake will remind us, and geology and interlude in astronomy, man was left to shift and think for himself. Thought became free and boundless and fought its way out of superstition and ecclesiasticism, to the time when a whole age would be named after a writer, and Voltaire might say, "I have no scepter, but I have a pen." I never cease admiring the French Enlightenment. All in all, I consider it the peak of human history, greater even than Periclean Greece or Augustan Rome, or Medician Italy. Never had men thought so bravely, spoken so brilliantly, or lifted themselves to a greater height of culture and courtesy. "Alas," said Louis XVI, standing in his temple prison before the books of Voltaire and Rousseau, "these are the men that have destroyed France." Yes, they had destroyed one France, but they had liberated another, not to speak of freeing America through their disciples, Washington, Franklin, and Jefferson. This is the best I can do. Far off here in the Pacific, between two hemispheres and two ages. I look back to the Orient and wonder how a Confucian scholar or a Hindu Brahmin would smile at my dates. The one would inquire courteously where the Tang Dynasty entered into my list, an age as great in China as the Enlightenment in France. The other would ask about Akbar and Asoka, and I could only answer that Asoka belongs to Buddha and Akbar to Muhammad. I know how partial and provincial all this must be. We are all born within frontiers of space and time, and struggle as we will, we can never escape from our boxes. To us, civilization means Europe and America, and the Orient, which considers us barbaric, seems barbarous. I let the reader then make his own lists, helping himself to what he likes in mine. Let him try to build for himself another perspective in unity that shall clarify human development for him. And let him remember the words which Napoleon bequeathed to the Duke of Reichstadt at St. Helena. May my son study history, for it is the only true psychology and the only true philosophy.
Production copyright 2003. All rights reserved.